Certainly is. Looking forward to catching up with Nick Bedeau after 8 o'clock. And before we hand over to Blue Eyes, and he in turn to Gareth Hall through the morning on RSN 927. But Brad Johnson is our Thursday morning specialist around these parts. We love having him part of the team, and he's back again this morning. Good morning, Jono.
Good morning, Half. Good morning, Whitey. Good to see you guys. How are you?
We're going very, very well. How's your world?
World's good. World's pretty good. Yeah, pretty cruisy, to be honest with you. It's nothing too exciting happening, Half. Just waiting for the rounds to come out every Monday and Tuesday. I sit on the edge of my seat waiting to see where I'll be on the weekend, and then and then my week's set. I'm ready to go. So it's and it's good. It's good that we're still ticking along. I understand the complexities around it. We talk about it all the time, but ultimately we've got this round coming up, and there's some important games within this round for what potentially could be some final spots for some teams, some top four spots for some teams, and then others that are fighting for that position in the eight. And who knows? We could see the Blues. Out of the eight on percentage after this round, and who would have thought that when we've been assessing them and the ups and downs throughout this entire season?
Yeah, well, that's that whole 7-8 sort of thing is bizarre. How that's unfolded in the last 3 weeks in particular is just bizarre, Jono, and it highlights, I think, the challenges that everyone faces through this current climate of professional sport that we live in, that the uncertainty, as you say, not knowing where you're going, and that can change midweek. You don't know how you're going to get there, what time that's going to happen. You've got no way to plan, and you're just going to go out there and do your business. And I think we're seeing the results on the back of that.
Yeah, no question whatsoever. It's the ups and downs. No one wants to. There's about six teams that don't want to play finals this year. I think we might as well finish with the top seven and off we go, because no one wants to grab that and really own it at the moment. And when you look at this week, like you look at Essendon, who's got a healthy percentage, but they play the Dogs. So you've generally got they could beat the Dogs with some of the way they play, but you've got to go to the teams that are above them at the moment. So, you know, the Saints play the Swans, so that you think the Swans would win that one. Richmond play North, so Richmond should jump up with a victory there. The Blues play the Suns, so you'd think that they would take care of the Gold Coast Suns as well. But who knows with the Gold Coast Suns? They could come out and play extremely good footy for this week. And then you've got the Dockers and the Lions as well, which is at over in Perth. But the Lions, and they haven't been in great form also. So there's, as we said, there's some intriguing matchups that'll happen throughout this week. But the most intriguing matchup that I think will happen in the near future, Half, is yourself versus Nick Del Santo. Now, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens over the AFLW season. I know that through every training session you do, you'll have a little Nick Del Santo just sitting on the back of your head, in the back of your thought process, and just wondering, how am I going to take this newcomer into the coaching business?
I won't be letting him get the better of me, I'll tell you that much, Jono. I don't want these Johnny come lately just strolling into town thinking they run the joint. This is my town.
There's only one game changer.
That's the attitude.
My town, Jono.
Did it surprise you, Jono? I mean, obviously you work with Nick at Fox, and he has gone back to St Kilda in recent years in a couple of different roles. But this one's caught a few people by surprise. What about you?
Oh, it didn't surprise me in terms of talking to Nick pretty much every week about coaching. We've been away, AFL Academy together. His thoughts on the game and the way that he can coach the game is excellent. It's top shelf sort of stuff.
That's a good
concern. Now it's about taking a whole group. That's the biggest challenge, I suppose, and leading a whole group forward in terms of where they want to go as a footy club. But I've got no question in around that. Yeah. The only thing is, we're pretty close, Nick and I, but he didn't say a word. He kept this one really quiet.
Is that right?
So that's a credit too. See, I like that. The fact that, and the Saints should understand now, they've got a guy that's, he doesn't talk outside the four walls. So so look out there. He did well. He hit it well, and he would have been tempting at times, I suppose, to maybe let someone know that, hey, this is what I'm doing at work, but didn't go there. So credit to him with that. He stayed in the process really tight.
So is he more Ross Lyon or more Malcolm Blight?
He can do the Ross Lyon walk really well. I know that. He'll be calm and controlled. I think Nicky Daly, he'll do it with a smile on his face. He just loves it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
He can do what he likes and he walks away with 0 points.
I can't see Dal getting too angry too often either. It's very calm and measured.
He's serious though when it comes to his footy. That's one thing he is. So we know it can, and we say the same about Half, but he can bubble over too every now and then. So You know, he's got the girls. Half's hilarious. So I've only been into the Inner Sanctum once at the Blues, and it was a great introduction that the half gave me. And it was, it, you could see that the girls are just like, they're entrenched on every word that, that he is saying. So once you've got the group like that, and you can sense it as soon as you walk into a place, and I'm not just saying it because we're close half, but you can tell that in as soon as you walk into a footy club environment. And if you've got that, then you can go either way. You have, you know, the light-hearted moments with your players, but you've got those serious moments as well where you sort of, as Rodney used to do, grab us on the forearm and pull you into the office to have a nice chat about where your footy's at and how you can get better.
All right. I asked this to the boys on Monday, and I'm going to ask you, of the sort of like a power rankings type situation. So like the teams Woody. From 7 to 13, West Coast, Fremantle, the Giants, Essendon, Richmond, Carlton and St Kilda, there are two spots available. Who are the best two teams of those six? So there's two questions. Who are the best two teams of those six? But who are the two that you think will make it with three rounds to go?
Wow, that's West Coast, I think, are in that. So I
you're banking
will consider
them?
West Coast. Yep, I think they can. Look, we've had the fluctuations. I know the next couple of weeks will tell us a lot with the West Coast Eagles. But ultimately, the list that they've got, the games they'll play at home, I can't see them missing. I just can't.
They get a bit jumpy this week. If Melbourne beat them on Monday night, they get a bit jumpy, don't they?
Well, they got Melbourne, Brisbane and Freo.
Yeah, so I think they'll be okay. I think they could come down. Imagine that, the game versus Fremantle to secure a spot for either team in the finals. That could be one of the biggest derbies of all time.
Get Dale Kickett back.
That we might have to, and Michael Gardner, and we'll get Pav to run out from the boundary and just get involved in it again. So that could be enormous. That sort of game. Look, I lean towards Essendon. I really do. I think they're a side on the rise, and it's interesting talking to the Essendon fans around and the couple that I do know quite well. That they go either way. Some say, oh, I'd love to play finals. Some say, we don't want to play finals this year. And it's a really interesting mindset in terms of the way a couple of the fans are thinking, because if they play a final and they get blown out of the water, for example, then it'd be like, is that a waste of a year? Does that change the narrative on where we're seeing Essendon at the moment and the positive nature of the way they're building their list, the way Rutten is coaching? Should it be, you know, that, and I don't think that. I think you should just strive to be where you need to be, where you finish is where you finish, and you have a crack come of finals. If you get beaten, you know what you've got for the next year. But it's just an interesting narrative around some of the supporters at the moment and the way they're thinking about their team.
Well, I think they say that because every time Essendon plays a final in the last 15 years, they get belted.
and look, all those storylines come up, don't they? And it does sit with the fans. It certainly does. It sits with the media as well. So that's where, you know, it's a really interesting one. I'd love to see them make it. I really would. I think, you know, the way Ben Rutten has coached that side this year, a bit more freedom in the way that they're moving. You can see the pattern of play they like to produce. It's exciting too. They're a good team to visually watch, the Bombers. So, you know, I hope they're the probably two teams, the Eagles and the Bombers, to pinch those spots.
Who did you end up going with?
Huh? I can't remember.
No, I can't either.
How am I supposed to remember that? It was Monday.
Because I think it's actually bordering on impossible. Because I'm still with Richmond. I can't give up on Richmond. Even though I probably
who's got
should.
The easiest run there, Whitey? Have you got the easiest run of the lot?
It's hard to know what's easy and what's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, that's right. That's the challenge.
So Richmond have got North Melbourne this week. Then they've got the Giants.
And Hawthorn.
And then they've got Hawthorn.
Well,
so
there you go.
I reckon there's two, there's minimum two there for Richmond.
There is. You've got to get two out of three, and you've got to knock someone else in the process. So the Tigers can knock out the Giants, or the Giants will knock out the Tigers in this.
Yeah.
In this process.
Yes. So the problem is for Richmond is their percentage is 98 versus Essendon's 102. But that would get them to 40 points, Richmond, if you just give them two of three. Now, they could easily get three of three, but say it's two of three. Essendon, I think they can only get to 40. I can't see how they can beat the Bulldogs, but they should be able to beat Collingwood and Gold Coast. And then it's the Giants that are the wild card because they've got those 2 points. So the percentage isn't important to them. So if they get two wins, they get to 10.5. And they've got that game against Richmond. The Giants-Richmond
it's
could be the
now.
One. I reckon that's the one
that's
that
right.
decides it.
Because
the Giants have also
when
got
you
Carlton and Geelong. They won't beat Geelong, But if they win their last two, they'll get to 10.5, which might put them out of Richmond and Essendon.
Yeah, it does. That's spot on in terms of that. That game next week, the Giants versus the Tigers, is enormous now in the context of the way you just explained that. And the 2 points that they do have over their rivals that are in the same spot on the ladder. So that becomes absolutely enormous. I hope they put it on I don't know whether they can play the Friday night again, the Giants, but that'd be a ripper to start the round.
Yeah. I mean, the Giants are central to everything just because of who they play, because they've got Carlton this week. Carlton in round 23. They've got Richmond. And then this week, they have Geelong. So probably not so much this week, but those last two games, they're elimination finals. But they control their own destiny because they've got those 2 points.
That's right. But that's the benefit they've got. That's what you want to be at this stage. You want to be able to control your own destiny, not relying on others to be losing so that you can step up into the eight. I remember 1 year, we sat at the Spotswood Bowls Club.
That's
watching
right.
Essendon v Melbourne to see. I think we needed either or, one or the other, to win. I think it was the Bombers to beat the D's that year for us to play final. So we sat there for three quarters. It was close. And then halfway through the last, we're on the beers because Melbourne blew it open, I think it was. So it was a shocking day, you know. Like, they had radio stations out the front and we're all talking, you know, yeah, we're still in it, we're all that. And it was one of those days. So you don't want to be relying on that rather than having it in your own hands, which the Giants do.
This isn't meant to be a provocative question at all, but could it be possible that Fremantle are better without Nathan Fyfe? Nathan Fyfe is a wonderful player.
He's a two-time Brownlow medalist.
I know he is. He's one of the best players in the competition. But
history.
As a team, could they be better without him? Or is that stupid?
I would never call you stupid. But I'm thinking about
it. I understand the question. I do understand the question on the basis of what their midfield produced last week, what they produced
playing as a team.
Yeah, which was great. Yeah. No doubt. No doubt whatsoever. So, therefore, do you think a couple of clubs have maybe just mentioned to Fife's management, look, we can provide a Hail Mary deal here for Fife?
Because that's what I was thinking. I was watching a news bulletin last night where he was interviewed, because obviously he's had his shoulder reconstruction and he's out for the season. And you just go, wow, could we get him a little bit cheaper off the back of a shoulder injury if we made a play for him? And just the way he sets up as a player, that it's kind of about him, not about the midfield group. But when he's not there, I don't know, do they gel a bit better? I mean, that was a big win to do that under pressure. And it was about Chera. It was about Brayshaw. It was about all the guys in that midfield that were all part of a collective group rather than relying on Nathan Fyfe to get them over the line.
Well, that's right. And Walter's not playing as well as Alex Pearce. So three keys out, everyone thought, nah, there's no chance. And they produced the effort that they do. Chair is the interesting one in this whole discussion. We've been talking about him for a while. We know that. So that's where the Fyfe scenario stays at Fremantle. I understand your thinking around it, though, Whitey. I really do, because of the type of midfield they have got in the future that, you know, they bring to the footy club. But, you know, you've got to be careful too. We don't want to be pushing, you know, champions of your club for a long time out. I still see that as an important cog within your organisation. So I know Hawthorn have done it in their own way, but they'd won their premierships and won their flags, those players, and I can see the conversations in around that coming towards the end and where your group's at. But someone like a Fremantle, you know, this could, if they did that for an example, or he decided to leave, that could tear away too much of the fabric of the place.
I reckon that's a really good point, Jono, and I think in this modern world of free agency and player movement and this NBA-style go somewhere to win a flag thing, I reckon that's actually crippling a lot of clubs. Not crippling, but really destroying fabrics of clubs. And you talk about the champions, and you were one of those with the Bulldogs. And if you'd gone somewhere else, that would have taken a piece of the Bulldogs out. And Fyfe's the same from Fremantle. And I think we are very, very quick at the moment. If our team isn't winning a flag this year or next month, we're trying to find a way to get rid of one of our guns and get another kid in, get a good kid in that's going to be a good player for 10 years, rather than use those players as building blocks for the foundation of the future with
culture and history and what it makes to be a part of a club. I reckon we're really quick to get rid of people. This is the whole Trent Cotchin conversation from about a month ago.
Yeah.
Trying to retire him off. Yeah.
I agree. I'm not talking about Fife in this situation. I'm just talking about the role that he plays for Freo. Mm. And at times it was a little bit like that with Essendon with James Hird, that it all was centralised around one player and everyone had to sort of support the one player to enable him to play the way he needs to play. Whereas when he's not there, they just seem to be a more collective group. And so it's not about whether Fife's a good player or not. It's just whether, I don't know, there's something about that group when he's not there.
But that's a coaching issue. If that's the way it was, perhaps, like for Justin Longmuir who's come in recently, if that's the way it was, everyone had to play to help Fife, and that was the way we won games. Well, that's not going to last. That's not sustainable. Because Fife will get injured or he'll get sat on and all of a sudden you can't win a game of footy. So you've got to find a system that everyone plays. That we hear it all the time. Everyone plays their role, Jono. So if we're worrying about one player and focusing on them and working just for them, then you're never going to be a decent club or a decent team anyway. But if that player has had that level of responsibility and expectation but can come back underneath and be a part of the whole system, then you're a chance.
Well, it depends too. Like you look at someone like Fife and you can understand the conversations that may be happening half internally because of, you know, the opposition targeting him every week. Who do the opposition want to stop in the midfield? It's Fife. You've got to restrict his impact. So therefore, as a teammate, half of your mindset at stoppage and bits and pieces is, okay, is Nathan all right here? Is he getting tagged? Do I need to go block for him first? Rather than what Whitey's talking about now when he's not there, you don't have that as a player. So your mindset is purely focused on, you know, where you're going in stoppage, where you can run freely from this stoppage and all that sort of stuff. And you can play a more natural game rather than trying to always in the back of your mind have your eye on your best player to support him, because that's probably the way it's been driven within probably from Fife in himself, because we used to do it. If you're getting sat on, you know, come and look after me, block for me at this stoppage, that sort of stuff. And that's where the younger players have probably just got that freedom when he's not there. And I think that's tends to be what Whitey's sort of alluding to here, is the more freedom in performance rather than still having elements of that, but it's not a total freedom because your best player's there and you're obviously trying to support him as well because he's the match winner.
It's like when Libra and Jose and Dimmer were trying to tag me. Take out
you're
the keys.
You're asking for support,
you take out
you?
The key though. Player and you got no love. You need that love. You need that support.
And you yelled out. I remember one day you yelled out to Crawf, come and block for me, and he just laughed at you.
He was still trying to work out who I was. Yeah. Didn't know my name. Hey, Jono, we're going to get to the news. There's plenty more to talk about in the world of footy as we build up to round 21. Johnny Bowden's got the latest. He's the complete media package around here. You're the complete Foxtel footy package you are. And although no Saturday stretch for him tonight.
Fife has missed four games this year and Fremantle have won three of the four when he hasn't played. And I'm not saying to do it, I just posed it as a question.
Who are the opponents?
The opponents were Collingwood in Melbourne.
Doesn't count.
Richmond.
Doesn't count.
And the other one was Gold Coast.
Doesn't count. None of it counts. Johnny Bowden counts. No more Jono after this.
If you wanted to go with a balance of probabilities, he won't play football this week, but I think he'll play next week, and when he's right to go, he's likely to play in our AFL team. Don't hold me to it, though.
Don't hold him to it. Chris Scott there, the coach of the Cats, talking about Jeremy Cameron and whether or not he'll be back sooner rather than later. It sounds very much to me, Brad Johnson, Thursday morning specialist on The Breakfast Club, like Barmy's old 2 weeks. the forever 2 weeks.
Yes. Look, I think, is it don't hold me to it for him returning this week, or don't hold me to it that he'll come straight back into the ones? So I'm not sure. I'm trying to work out whether Scotty's setting him up here for a return via the VFL. I'm not sure whether that happens for Jeremy Cameron.
I'm not sure the Ferrari's rolling around in the paddock. I'm not sure you take the Ferrari out to the mud paddock.
Oh, we've all done it at some stage, Half. We've all done it at one point or another.
I'd be surprised if you went back there. I'd be surprised, John.
I played for Williamstown one game in my last year of footy in 2010, coming back from injury. Rodney Eade sent me to Ballarat to play the Ballarat Rebels on a wintry, cold day, and it didn't turn out the best game in my career. I must admit, I actually, Chris Maple, who now runs the Dogs football department, he was assistant coaching at the time, and he came up to me at half time and he goes, "Look, at any stage in this third quarter, can you have one tackle? Just one.
So it's never a good conversation when you hear that.
No, it was hilarious. I laughed. We laughed at it. We both just laughed at it. He's like, you know, I said, "I'm not here to tackle."
And that was the afternoon that you decided that was it. You're going
to
retire.
Yeah, pretty much. Look, Rodney was good enough to bring me straight back in after that one, even though I played terribly and the assessment wouldn't have been great from Peter German, who was coach at the time.
Oh, German.
But Rocket was kind enough to put me back at Marvel the following week under the lid, not back out in the elements again.
Under the lid, yes. So basically, is there any danger of you having an effort at some stage today? That's negative feedback from Chris. But very much the way it is. There's been plenty of feedback on our conversation about the final eight and the race to the eight off the SMS. And there's a lot of Richmond fans up and about. Scotty in Tigerland, who's been very quiet of recent times.
He has been very quiet.
When they've been garbage, has come out swinging this morning. Tigers win seven straight for the flag. He's thrown in the hashtag, "It's what we do, Jono." That's where he is at the moment, Scotty.
Not without Dusty, you don't, unfortunately. Look, I believe that they have the ability and the stock to produce something magical, but part of that magic is unfortunately out with a severe injury at the minute.
And someone was saying that Giants-Tigers game might be played in Darwin.
Well, it could be played anywhere.
Well, that's true. At this stage, yeah, it could be played in
But it is the thing with even like a Richmond, depending on what happens in the world, and even we've got some setbacks overnight with some school closures, etc., through a potential outbreak again, is that there might be a scenario where all the finals are played in Melbourne. And then even the thought of Richmond having to go on the road for three consecutive weeks in a final series might not eventuate. They might just have to win four games at the MCG. Who knows?
Do you think teams feared playing Richmond at the MCG? They just did not lose. Do you think that's been lost a little bit now?
I was going to ask that.
Where they're at?
Do you think that has happened?
Confident?
Yeah, I mean, if you think back to the last 6 or 8 weeks where there have been games where Richmond's loomed up to win or have been in a winning position where they wouldn't have lost it in the past, but whether it be Freo on the weekend, West Coast a few weeks ago, a couple of other games where you just thought that they were going to come and they didn't.
Maybe
they're losing their luster. Maybe it is the crowd. I don't know.
From an opposition point of view, I'm talking about here. Yeah. Like it was on. You'd walk into a Richmond game and we'd be working, and the intensity and the atmosphere that they would build as supporters at the MCG was huge.
Agreed.
Absolutely huge. So therefore, you know, that's another element that you've just got to deal with, because when they run out the roar, or when and you're already out there as an opposition player, or you know, they kick that first goal and up they go, and it's got that intimidation factor about it. And some players handle it. Some think, "Whoa, what are we dealing with here?" You know what I mean? We've got this gun team, and then you've got the elements of just a crowd that's going nuts. So yeah, I think that's maybe played a little part into the opposition in terms of how they feel about playing Richmond at the G.
Jake Nile had an article in The Age today saying that Josh Kelly has been given extra time to decide whether to, instigate his 8-year contract extension with the Giants, hit the button on that, or potentially leave the club. It's in his hands. Now, the deadline has passed on when the Giants wanted him to make a decision. The Giants have given him extra time. Is that
like draft night, extra time.
Yeah, that's right. Is that reason to be concerned if you're the Giants that he's done that, or that's just he wants extra time because he wants extra time?
I don't know. I'm of the. If you need extra time, he's weighing up to whether he should walk or not. I think it's as simple as that in terms of where it's at, because you know, being in the position where, you know, you're coming out of contract and bits and pieces, you knew pretty much in your mind where you sort of stood within the club you're in. And if you were going to stay, those decisions are made pretty quickly in your mind. So I can't see the Giants would want to hold this out any longer than what it has been up until this point. You know, they'd want that signings. They want that for their fans, for their, you know, the positivity around the place. So asking for extra time, just that's asking for more questions to come your way about where you sit in terms of your decision making.
Never a good sign, I wouldn't have thought. Asking for extra time, and if I was the Giants, I'd be saying, well, we gave you a deadline. It was a pretty generous deadline. This hasn't just crept up on you. This is not something you've just woken up this morning and we're thrown at you. This has been going for a long time now. Why do you need extra time? And if you can't answer that, then don't give him and say, right, I will just put you on the table.
We had an interesting text through the week saying, well, there's not as much talk about trades this year as there have been in other years at about this time. And it was a good point. And the thought was that maybe it's because of the Olympics. I think it's just because a lot of the free agents or the players that were seen as potentially moving at the end of the year have recommitted to their football clubs. Mm-hmm. So outside of Chera, there's no one really we're talking about. And Kelly has emerged because I think there was an expectation he just was going to, pull the trigger on that contract. But I just thought it was an interesting bit of information that Jake Nile had today. They think, I wonder what North Melbourne is thinking, because North Melbourne are playing some much better football, and maybe Josh Kelly's going, I could see a future here. I don't know. Just interesting.
We'll see what happens with Josh. Yeah, I'm not wrapped about the extra time situation from the Giants, if you want to keep him anyway. I'm sure you'll get... Is that a trade or is that a free agency? What is that situation?
I don't know. How long has he been around for now?
Don't know.
It's been around for a while. It could be a contract deal that determines the what the Giants would get.
Yeah. They have to get something good.
Someone will let us know.
Someone will let us know. Jono, I hear some breakfast dishes in the background. Is that Hi-Viz Jack doing his thing? Is that Hi-Viz?
Some crockery
wrap that he's got to mention.
Is that Hi-Viz Jack again, my man?
No, he's up and about somewhere. He is. He's ready to go. A bit of carpentry today, the big fella. So he loves Thursdays. One, he loves the mention you're giving him every single week after. But also the fact this is his favourite day of heading off to school, because he's just absolutely passionate about his building and his carpentry.
Yeah, plenty of money in that. Keep going, Hi-Viz. Keep going. You'll make heaps of cash. The Jack Viney situation, Jono, what's your take on that? Ended up with 2 weeks for his little elbow to the bonce of Sam Collins. Your mate Kingy on 360 last night said it's four and we start from there. I was less firm on that, I must admit, during the week. Happy with the two.
Kingy's becoming Neil Busy-like.
Well, if he's in charge of the tribunal, you wouldn't want to be going.
No.
That's exactly
judge type scenario.
I actually, and if you get hit in the head in particular, but I'm actually with Kingy on this side of his thinking around protecting the head and and the decisions when you are made as a player and you do get struck in the head. We're doing everything we can to try and eliminate as many head knocks in the game. And we've certainly changed aspects of that. Our whole thinking around that has changed as well, and the way that we attack the ball. So even if it's an incident like Jack Viney, it is still one, the look of that is just not great at all. So I tend to think it probably should have been, you know, a 3-4 as a start point from that point of view. I know it's a different conversation in terms of the whole head knock and concussion, but some of the weeks that players have got have been lighter than I thought they would have been for the incidents that have occurred on the field. So I think, you know, that's something that needs to change, because we're all focused on that, the outcome and where the player sits, where it should be action first. Players know that if I do this, if I run past the ball and I bump someone, and that's 2 to 3 weeks straight up, or even four. And then if it gets injured and it's severe, then the layers start, you know, going from that point. Rather than running past the ball, bumping a guy, gets up straight away, I get 1 week because he's okay. No, that's what needs to change. And I think that's what Kingy's starting to sort of try and lean towards. And I'm not sure where you guys sit on it, but I certainly agree that it should be the action first that gets adjudicated, and then the outcomes for that are just the layers on top of it.
Yeah, but that is in fairness, John, that is the system at the moment. You go through the action, is it intentional, is it careless, and then you got the impact point, and then you get the outcome. So that is part of the factoring of the process at the moment.
There is a waiting on impact, though, in that system.
Yeah,
to
but
work
that's
out but, how many weeks it is.
And well, that's interesting, Huff, because my thought is have always been around, doesn't the doctor's report play that a big role in that as
it,
well?
It
in
plays terms a of, role, yeah. It's not, yeah. It's not huge. It does play a role. If the medical report is quite damning and negative, then that's you're absolutely going to get hung up.
So it goes to low right. to medium, or medium to high.
If I ran past the ball and hit Whitey and he's absolutely knocked out, and I'd get four to six as an example, right? So if I ran past the ball, same action, and put you down half and you were okay and you got up,
I would have.
I'd probably get one to two. That's what I'm sort of saying. Yeah. My action should still be adjudicated the same. Therefore, and then the outcome is just, you know, you're lucky. My stupid action, you were just lucky that you came out of it better than what Whitey has. So that's sort of where I'm trying to lean towards, I suppose.
Philosophically, I do agree with that, but I do have a stance that the outcome has to be a factor. And like any court of law, like any judicial process, the outcome, what happens is really important. And I keep using, and I've used this before, John, the traffic light, the run a red light situation. You run a red light and the camera gets you, or no one gets you, nothing happens. You run a red light, the camera gets you, you pay a fine. You crash into someone, you're going to court, and if you kill someone, you're doing some time.
You're done.
So outcome is always a factor in these processes. And I think that's important to still have a balance of that through the process. But general view, wider view philosophically about head knocks, we do need to be more careful, although I wasn't anywhere near as strong as Kingy on the Jack.
It's a pretty
situation.
Silly argument from Jono, because I would have got up, and I'm not sure you would have.
Hang on. You wouldn't have been anywhere near the contest in the first place.
Well, that's exactly right.
When I was thinking about it, I'm going, who do I keep on the ground here? Do I keep half on the ground? Do I keep Whitey?
Daniel makes
these things are going through my mind while I'm actually starting to say it. Sorry, Whitey, I should have kept you up, mate.
Well, Daniel makes a very good point. I would not have been in the contest. I would have been calling for it out on the boundary.
There's Jono, a role for everyone in the game, Whitey. Don't worry about that.
Spot on. Jono, Friday night footy, Geelong and the Giants. Any chance the Giants?
Very slim. Very slim down here. At the Cattery, the ground is looking absolutely amazing. It's ready to go. It's going to be a great contest, but the Cats will be too strong. The Cats will be too strong in terms of what they can produce at the moment. They're in unbelievable form, the Catters. So I think they'll go on to win.
Right, well, we'll see how it all unfolds. Your tipping's going gangbusters on Fridays too. You're going good, so just keep going.
I'm not going that well.
Yeah. I'm just giving you a pump up. Just keep it positive. Hey, have a great weekend. We'll look forward to catching you next Thursday on The Breakfast Club.